recording again, and now we may begin when we begin.
Okay. Oh, well, we should get out of the water, but whatever. Anyway, hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 62?
Yes!
I lost track because I wasn't here for the last one. It always screws me up. We have so many things to talk about that we may be recording two podcasts right now, so I'm not going to tell you what we're talking about because it'll confuse things. So, I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
All right. So, we are going to start with me recapping, I guess, my New York Comic Con experience.
Sure.
Which is just sad because then you guys just have to listen to me talk because it was just me who was there.
We may ask you questions. There you go. May have reactions.
So, what was my New York Comic Con? It was hot and sticky, and why New York? It's supposed to be fall when I go there. I'm supposed to get a respite from LA, but it was actually cooler here because it was so humid there.
That's surprising.
It's cooler now on the East Coast.
It's cooler now?
Until Friday.
Yeah.
Oh.
There was a thunderstorm the night I got there, but that doesn't really help. It was so humid. There was one day it was 80 degrees and 98% humidity. I was like, please kill me now. By the time I got back to my friend's house where I was staying, I was like, the sweater I was wearing was absolutely just dripping in gross sweat.
Oh,
so
sweaty. Yikes.
Anyway, but in the convention center, because of the way that convention center is, to keep the floor cool, they have to pump so much air into it that where the press rooms are, which is on the highest level, and it's like a glass dome, it was freezing. In fact, there was talent complaining because they were shivering.
Oh, wow.
The first day. Because obviously they're, pretty, but they're not practically dressed. At least I put on a sweatshirt. I could put on a sweatshirt. They're not doing that.
Right.
So, yeah, it was you'd go from the floor to, where you were dying because it was too hot. And then up to the press rooms where you wanted about 8 layers because you were so cold. But, as for the press rooms themselves, they went well. There were some issues with annoying publicists talent, but I'm not going to get into specific ones. I'll have to tell you guys later.
Okay.
There was one specific one that, I actually was in the room with the publicists for the network that they're on, who were the ones who brought them there. And I was like, the only people I need are these two people. And they were like, okay, well, one of them's fine, but the other one, we're going to tell you right now, her publicist is a dick.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was, she literally in front of, I was like, I have one question I didn't get to ask when I saw her recently. And she was like, well, because I think I told other people no, I think I feel like I need to stick by that. But don't blame her, it's me. And it's like, no, she's the person who hired you. She knows what you are.
Yeah.
So I'm going to blame her. Even though I liked her beforehand.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, that was my first day, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
My first press room? Yeah, that was my first press room.
It's a great first experience.
I was like, thanks a lot. All right. But yeah, my first day, I had so many problems. What went wrong? Equipment was wrong. That happened. Something else.
Like,
I can't remember.
Was it the Wi-Fi went out? Or at some point, you didn't
the
have
Wi-Fi,
connection?
Well, okay. So I have problems with this stupid
tablet
that I use. That apparently Matt's just you need to be using it more. I guess I must be doing something that where instead of turning it back on, I'm forcing it to... It came up with a thing that looked like it was supposed to, on a computer, on a Windows computer, when it does that, you have to go, it's basically like, I crashed, I need to restart, or I need to fix what broke, right? So I did that. And as soon as I got to the point of no return, Matt woke up, and I talked to him, and he was like, I think you just wiped that computer.
And sure enough,
it wouldn't start again.
Oh my God.
In fact, he hasn't yet fixed it, because he's been sick. But, which is funny,
though.
I didn't get the crud, but he stayed home and he got sick.
That's a sign. He should have come.
Exactly. I somehow managed. I think it's because I got a flu shot. Mm-hmm. And in the past, it's been a long time since I got flu shot, but in the years I got flu shots, I hardly got sick.
Oh.
So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, knock on some wood or something, that I won't be getting sick this year. But anyway, the highlight of my entire con was getting to ask David Tennant and Michael Sheen a question and have them look at me.
And have them look at you!
Yes!
You were so excited about
that. I did the Good Omens press room, and I got to ask a question, which I thought it was an okay question.
It was an okay question?
And, you know, they answered, and they looked at me while I was asking the question, and they were lovely.
Aww.
And it was beautiful, and yeah. I was like, well, there you go, I don't
care. You've reached self-actualization.
I know, right? Now. I literally was like, a very lovely Welshman and the 10th Doctor were super sweet to me, and I can die now.
What was the question?
It was about the importance of the chemistry of their two characters.
Oh, okay, okay.
And how, obviously, David Tennant and Michael Sheen are not going to have to audition for their roles, but they were in one movie together, but they didn't have any scenes together.
Oh, okay.
So it was, were you sure, or did they have to actually do like a chemistry test to make sure? Because they're supposed to be, but it was, you know, it was lovely. It was very sweet. They were obvious. They were adorable.
That's wonderful.
So that was fun. What else did I do? So Good Omens was great, because I didn't get to ask Neil Gaiman a question, but he was really super sweet, too. And
okay.
That was a really fun room. A lot of people were like, is that Jon Hamm? He's in that show? Yes.
Oh.
I think everybody forgot what he was casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays Gabriel, which is Michael Sheen's character, Aziraphale's boss.
Okay. So, okay.
The angel Gabriel.
Right.
But it does, it like... you guys watched the trailer.
Yeah.
It looks super fun, right?
It does, it does. I thought it was really, like, tongue-in-cheek, enjoyable. Like, I haven't read the book myself. But based on what I know about it from my friends, it seems like it's in line with the tone of the novel, so.
I think, I did see people responding to the trailer, saying the one thing that they were concerned about is how important the children are in the story. And that we've seen nothing of them. And so that always...
That's what I was just gonna
say. Yeah.
Because they're, like, such a big part, like, that group and what it means to be, like, a British boy in that time period. And
now, when you say, like, see nothing of them, is that, like, there's not even people cast as them?
Or... No, they're cast. I mean, okay, they've filmed the whole
thing.
There's,
right, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So, like, they do exist, we just haven't seen the footage. But I feel like oftentimes when you set up trailers or whatever, you know, you only you're only showing a certain angle.
Yeah.
And then you watch it, and then something totally different.
Because those kids, nobody knows who they are. And like, nobody's watching for them. They're watching for David Tennant, to be honest, mostly. But the other, you know...
The big name.
Michael Sheen and everybody else will be much more important. So, yeah.
So I'm sure that...
I'm sure they're fine. But it just, you know, people who are, like, really invested are concerned.
Yeah.
But
they're not going to be able to do the good dynamic he has with his dog. No, he just got this whole, because it's like the hellhound.
Right.
In the book. It's like, but then it like, because it his thing is to follow the what its master wants, and its master is just like, thinks he's like a regular British boy.
Aww.
So he just wants to be a boarding dog. And so like the hellhound starts to be like, kind of like a regular dog.
Aww, that's cute.
That is cute.
I'm predictable, and I really like that part of the book.
Is there any, okay, since you have actually read it, is there anything that, like, concerned you, or does it seem to, like, capture the spirit of the book well?
Yeah, I think it's captured the spirit of the book. I mean, I have never been thrilled about their character design.
Uh-huh.
Because they're, especially Aziraphale, like, he's too obvious. Like, he's just supposed to be a, like, unassuming bookstore owner. Like, I don't know. Not, like, he stands out.
Yeah.
And he's not supposed to. Like, so, I don't know. I thought that looked a little, like, kind of cheesy. Like, and the book is cheesy, but not. Like, I don't know. Have you read any Terry Pratchett?
I haven't, actually. I started to listen to the audiobook of, I can't remember the name, but the first Discworld book.
But one isn't good. Don't read
that. That one isn't good.
Well, and then it became really clear that, like, I shouldn't be listening to it, that I was like, no, this is something you have to read.
Oh, yeah.
Because well, like, it's just too complicated.
I would have other places to recommend to start with Discworld than that. It makes sense. You would think to start at the beginning, but you don't want to start with the first book you wrote.
Yeah.
And so most of the humor in Good Omens feels more like Terry Pratchett humor.
Yeah.
Than Neil Gaiman.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And that's not just your standard. It's not cheesy humor necessarily. Like, it's not like serious, but it's not just like I don't know, it's a little bit more cutting than that.
Okay.
Maybe a way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, Terry Pratchett was very incisive. He would have a lot to say about the world and society and fantasy and its tropes in, like, a very, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So, like, in the book, there's wizards and there's witches. And the wizards are, like, a bunch of... They're all dudes. And they're, like, academics. And they're just sort of, like, navel-gazer academics in, like, the main city. And the witches, like, live out in the countryside, like, with the people and help them and don't, like... practice magic. They just, mm-hmm. like, are magic.
Okay.
It's very feminist in, like, a certain way. It's just, like, when something in the patriarchy gets wrapped up in that, it's, like, sort of, if men practice it, then suddenly it's lofty and academic and it's a career. But if it's just women's work otherwise, and it's, like, the wizards look down on the witches. I don't know. I'm going off topic here.
No, it's
but,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of, I put on Facebook, like, I'm ruined, I mean, I'm gonna watch it, I'm excited, but I'm ruined for Good Omens because my friend wanted it to be Richard Ajibade and Chris O'Dowd.
Aww. That would have been, that would have been perfect.
Ajibade is Azrael and Chris O'Dowd is Crowley dressed in the same outfit and with the same attitude as that episode when he was trying to be a bastard.
Haha.
Because women love bastards.
Yeah. that would be hilarious.
That would have been
fun. And then Jen could be, like, War, because in the book, War is a woman. So she could be one of the horsemen. So you guys don't know anything about the plot then, do you?
Not really.
Nope.
I looked it up before I did the press room.
Yeah.
Because obviously I put to prep, but...
I know we want to avoid the apocalypse. I got that.
Yes.
Should I go over that then?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, so the plot is that the Antichrist is going to be, like, brought into the world.
Okay.
And there's, like, a group of, there's, like, a cult of Satanists or whatever. Maybe not Satanists, but cult of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Antichrist people who, like, are supposed to be there to receive him and put him in his spot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the good is aware of it as well. And so, basically, they manage to... Oh, no, the good isn't aware of it. So what they do is they're... American ambassador,
mm-hmm.
like he's British, but he's the ambassador to America.
Okay,
is having a baby in a hospital, and they switch his like human baby for the Antichrist baby because the idea is that like we want the Antichrist positioned in near the Americans, basically.
Oh, like,
okay. So they mean to give the British ambassador the Antichrist baby, but actually, what they do is he gets switched with just like a normal British couple.
Okay,
so like. The human baby is given to the, like, ambassador in America, and this, like, normal, everyday British couple is given this Antichrist baby. So the Antichrist is just raised as some, like, British kid. And so the kids are a big part, because it's just, like, him in his, like, exploits. Because, you know, your typical British novel boy exploits with all of his friends. And he gets the dog, and the dog is the hellhound, because the hellhound is, like, sent forth into the world to find his master, and it finds, you know, just the kid. Mm-hmm. Who's, like, running around. And so then... Crowley and Azrael, Crowley gets word that, like, the apocalypse is brewing and he wants to prevent it because, like, kind of like it's, he covers in the trailer, he's like, that's the end of what we've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to actually, like, go and, like, work. Go back to hell and do all that kind of stuff. And then there's other shenanigans, too, with, like, the woman who's, like, descended from the woman who, like, successfully predicted the apocalypse and everything. And then you meet each of the four horsemen and see what they're up to in the world and stuff, so. And everybody, it all, like, sort of all the separate threads that then everybody comes together in a typical series of very British shenanigans.
Okay, that sounds really interesting.
Okay, good book, you should read it.
Because, I mean, I've read a lot of Neil Gaiman books, but I've never read a Terry Pratchett book, so.
I like Terry Pratchett better than Neil Gaiman. He's better at women.
Oh, okay.
I've never read either one. Which disc, is weird.
Disc.
Which is really weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird, but, you know. It's all right.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because, like, the show mainly got made because Terry Pratchett had been trying for basically over a decade to try and get it made.
Oh, yeah.
In various forms. And the last thing he told Neil Gaiman was that he needed Gaiman to write it because nobody else was going to be able to do it. And then he died. Mm. And Pratchett wanted to see it. And then right. He died.
Aww.
So Neil Gaiman has said that he felt obligated to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it will be interesting to see how much of it he changed then, because obviously so much of it was Pratchett.
Right.
It's like, yeah, but as much as he may try and adapt his friend's work, he isn't his friend.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, Pratchett knew he was dying.
Yeah, but I think he was still hoping that he would live long enough to see it made.
Right, yeah.
And there's, the BBC is working on a couple other adaptations of some of his stuff.
Of Pratchett stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how, like, if Gaiman can capture enough of his voice, because that's always the problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I guess at least if you say Pratchett did the, what's it called? It does women better. There's not that many women in the story. It's mostly men and boys. Yeah. So maybe that helps.
In the trailers, there are more women in the book.
Really?
But they do not appear.
There are some. I mean, obviously, but yeah, the only one who was there was Miranda Richardson.
Oh.
Who is apparently a bigger character in the show than she is in the book. Because I had a hard time finding out anything about her character. Yeah. Trying to prep for the interview, I honestly couldn't find anything. Huh. So I had to just ask her. I'm like, because nobody else was asking her a question. I was like, so can you tell me something? Because I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, the book is, he has that book there, you know? So if he's going to planning on being, you know, he can be as faithful to his friend as he wants by, you know? So we'll see.
But it's interesting because, like, I hope it went better than American Gods.
Yeah.
He's apparently a big part of the problem that they're having with American Gods is that he wants it to be too faithful, and he's not willing to make any kind of concessions for them, which is why they're having so many problems.
Right.
Which they had a panel, and I still
think Richardson's character,
Miranda Richardson, she's like, she does a séance at one point.
Yeah, this is making me a little nervous because I'm having a hard time finding any of the female characters listed, and there are more female characters in the book.
Well.
Like roles, so I'm gonna lay that on Gaiman. She's Madame Tracy. Okay, that's like not as big of a character.
Yeah, I think she's in the story more in this. It sounds like
okay, yeah, because the three main female characters in the book are the war, one of the horsemen, and Agnes Nodder, who is the witch who gave the prophecy.
Yeah.
About the apocalypse, and then Anamitha Device, who is her, descendant, or whatever.
Okay.
She's one of the kids, right?
No.
No? Oh.
They're one of the kids is a girl, too.
Oh, okay.
Now, Anamitha Device is, an adult.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. But,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always hard when it is so centered on two male characters, because that's all they're really going to show you.
Mm-hmm. But it's not that,
Well, when you get two male characters who, you're having them play such big parts.
Yeah.
They're big actors, and that's who everybody's going to focus on.
Yeah. I would feel more sympathy if it was a movie, but it's not. It's a show, so they would have more time to flesh out more of the characters.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the thing. We only know what they're marketing.
Yeah.
So we've got to hope that,
for all we know, we're going to watch it and they're like, a lot more, they're not, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier for them probably to bank on, especially David Tennant.
I'm trying to think of, where that's been the case, but that has been the case several times where, I've gone into something, I've seen trailers drop and been like, and then I watched it, I was like, well, that's not what you showed me in the trailer. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, anyway.
From what I'm hearing, the reverse is true of Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah?
That they're making people think it is, going back to True Transformers, and that's literally, 10 minutes of the movie, and the rest of it is the new shit that nobody likes.
Well.
Yeah.
See, there you go. They're trying to bring you with one thing, and then they're like, hey!
Yeah.
It's actually something else.
Anyway, we just watched the Aquaman
trailer. Yes, we are super late on the Aquaman trailer, but we have seen it now.
Which, my main thought was, it looks, visually, it looks better than I thought it would.
Yes, it looks much better than the previous.
It feels like DC finally gave them some money, which they weren't willing to do for Wonder Woman, obviously. Right. So, I guess that's good, because obviously there is so much CG that has to go into this movie, so you better freaking do it right. Although, they may have just put in a lot of money to the stuff that's going to go in the trailer, and who knows
what it'll look like in the rest.
You can't, you never know, to be honest.
That's true. You don't like that Jason Momoa's Aquaman is a dude bro.
Yeah, Jason Momoa seems like a perfectly nice human being, but his personality is dude bro, and that seems to be the character he's playing, and I have a really hard time with that character.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that character, that kind of character, but if they're going to lean into it, I guess I'd rather they lean into that than, like, super broody, depressed Aquaman, you know, with the dark
mutant I don't know tones. Enough about the character, because, like, obviously I don't know a lot about DC, because Matt doesn't introduce me to DC stuff very much.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't care if it would be accurate to the character for him to be super broody and depressed. I'm tired of it.
Right.
Like, you make characters who aren't broody, you make them broody, so let's make a broody character not.
Yeah.
Let's make
him and happy. he's not broody anyway.
You
can
make Superman broody, but you couldn't make a different character happy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So I'm glad that we're going for a different tone, and there's some fun, you know, even though I also like that, because, like, the way that I see Aquaman is kind of like, Arthur is the king, because that's his bloodline, but he's just kind of like the king so that Mira can be the queen. And in the current arc, he's even like, well, I'm done being king, I guess Mira's queen now. See y'all later. So
nice.
So I feel that in this trailer.
Why not just make it about her?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
Cause, like, do they have a society that goes by the
blood? It's like
and it's not the, like, the patriarchal line. It's
no, I mean, like, if she was the daughter of the previous rulers, then she would be queen.
Yeah. Well, because it's obviously his mother was
yes,
the
his mother
was
from
Atlantis.
Right, yeah, and his dad was just hanging out
and
down the street.
So the brother that he's fighting against is
the mother's child with someone else, I think. Like,
with another Atlantean?
Yeah, with his full Atlantean.
Which makes you feel like he should be the
actual
heir.
Yeah. But the mom wants him to be king because that'll be the bridge between the worlds. But yes. The Atlanteans don't want to bridge the worlds. They're like, we like our separate worlds. We don't want an extra world. So
we get our own problems. Screw everybody else.
So that is the pushback against Arthur. And then, I don't know if they're doing, that in the movie or not, but Mira's from Jebel? I've never heard anyone pronounce it in real life.
Uh-huh.
So Xebel. She's from some other place. Okay. Underwater, that is like an enemy place of Atlantis. So then they like really don't want her because they're like, "What is happening? She's not even Atlantean at all." So yeah,
yeah.
The
only
thing I don't like about the trailer is this is like a special preview. It's supposed to make us like see scenes we want to see, and I was already getting bored watching them run on top of roofs.
Yeah,
oh
that
my
was
God,
so weird.
That was
the running on top of the roof was so unnecessary.
Yeah, it was like, okay, you're trying to show off what you can do, and that there's a cool fight scene, and I was like, and it keeps going.
Yeah, I kept going.
And going,
yeah.
and
but
I'm done.
Makes me worry, because I was like, you probably cut this entire scene out of the movie, and nobody would care.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. And Amber Heard's wig is terrible. Why can't they get red wigs right? Like, because it was also awful obviously in humans.
Yeah.
Like, just dye their hair.
Right.
Dye the hair.
What's so difficult about dyeing hair? Yeah, I don't get it. The red, the wigs.
Does this take place before or after Justice League?
I feel like it starts before, but most of it will be after.
Yeah, I think it's mostly after.
I remember if he had the trident in Justice League or not.
No.
No, he didn't. Because he didn't know anything. He was like, they called him Aquaman because he, like, helped people around the water, but he wasn't actually in, like, he goes into Atlantis for the first time, right? In Justice League.
Was that his first time meeting Mira?
Yeah, that was his first time meeting Mira.
Yeah.
So he didn't have any.
I thought that she knew him.
She knows of him. I think because she was like, oh yeah, you're the son of blah blah. I know you. And he's like, I don't know you. So.
Yeah. I think the only thing I thought was cool was, like, Nicole Kidman kicking some ass. That was neat. I was like, yeah. Otherwise,
you're not interested at all.
I suppose I'm a little more inclined to see the movie after that, because at least I know that they've put the money into the special effects. At least I'm assuming that means they have. But, yeah, I think I was, you know what? I think I was like, okay, maybe I'll see this until that stupid fight scene on the roof keeps going, and you're like, and I'm out.
Right. I'll be seeing it no matter what. So
how long it is for me?
Yeah,
I hope that they edited that down in the actual movie. But if not, then I hope the rest of the movie, you know, is much more interesting than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was
the entire running on the roof scene, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the little quest for whatever it is, the trident or whatever, that was cute. The little part was cute.
Except I didn't need the pee joke.
The pee joke! Wow. Oh, Lord.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, is it supposed to be because some idiot's going to point that out? So it's like, we're going to acknowledge it so that you don't have to point it
out. I guess, but...
And it just...
I feel like...
But it was like, ew.
I feel like it would take a very special person to be like, well, you could have just peed on it. Like, you could have just spit on it. You know? Like, there are other things you could have just done. Spit on it would have been better. Yeah.
If you had a choice between sweat and pee, you would pick sweat.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because at least she, like, is appropriately grossed out by it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Her face.
I mean, I think it was just meant to reflect that that's his... He's immature and, you know, he's whatever.
Incredibly
yeah.
immature.
Yeah.
I guess that's
the point. Yeah. Yeah, the point is that he's immature. Yeah. So
the vibe that I get from Jason Momoa is that he's a bro, but he's a mature bro. So like, why couldn't Arthur Curry be a mature bro? Why does he have to be immature?
He's acting, okay?
There has to be growth.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
it's like character arc.
It's the hero's journey.
But yeah, I mean, like, this, you know, like, right now he's low-key reminding me of, like, Ralph Dibney, and you know how I feel about Ralph Dibney, but that's all right.
That's the dude on The Flash.
Yes, at least it'll be...
When you have the hero and he's, like, 18 or younger, when he's as old as Jason Momoa, I'm over
it. Because Jason Momoa is, like, really old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason Momoa does not even look as old as he is, but like when you
oh, is he really? How old is he now? Now I have to find out. I'm like, he's not that old. Y'all make him sound ancient. Jason Momoa,
he's in his 30s.
Yeah, he's.
I am older. I'm
he's 39. He's 39.
So I'm actually the same age.
Okay.
So yes, he's old.
You're young at heart.
Wild in his 30s. I'm sorry. Like,
fun. Aside, mm-hmm. I went to the camping premiere the other day, and I got to talk to David Tennant again.
Oh.
And I was, like, slightly fangirl at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something about taking over the asylum, which was the first big thing he did.
Oh.
Like, the first fairly big role he had.
Yeah.
Which, he's a baby. And he was like, oh my god, that was, like, 20 years ago. And he's like, how are you old enough to have seen that? And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
I do look old. I was like, I do look younger than I am.
That's so
anyway,
funny.
That was my aside by age. But,
Momoa's character arc and growth be like the fact that he is a child of these two worlds? Like, that plot is in there. He doesn't have to be an immature baby on top of it.
Well,
like,
that's not the life they chose, Angela. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
They didn't make this for you, Angela.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Like, one thing that we can be clear on is that we are not the target audience.
We are not the target audience in this movie at all. This is for the comics great Kate crowd. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not.
No.
I mean, because they would have cast
a white person
it was.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I think, you know, for now I'm just like, okay, a lighter tone and Amber Heard, all right.
Yeah.
You know. And I want to see better, I have to assume there's going to be better fight scenes in there because it's James Wan. But then again, the rooftop, why would you show me the rooftop if you had better ones? I don't know. We'll see.
Because it was done.
Yeah, because it was done. There you go. Maybe there's better so good that they're not even finished yet.
Yes.
And that's why we haven't
seen
them.
There's a lot of work going on. Although I heard that it was basically done.
I don't know.
He's been working on it for so long, it should be done.
Yeah.
The scene where the two dudes, like his brother, Arthur Curry's brother, the like blonde dude,
mm-hmm.
and the other guy are like having a serious conversation and it's underwater and then their hair is floating.
Yeah.
They have a hard time taking seriously. And but that's not like their fault. Like,
it just... Other dude, not his brother, mm-hmm. other dude, looked really, really fake.
Yeah.
He looked kind of CGI. Like, I was like, is he supposed to be a real person? Because he doesn't look like a real person.
I think I know who
I think
you're
it's just the water.
About. Who
it's,
is that?
It's probably just the water.
Yeah.
I don't actually know who that is, but.
Yeah. But yes.
I was like, that doesn't look right.
But that's not their fault. Like, yeah. Well, I mean, if his face looks weird, it's their fault. But, like, the fact that they have to make them look realistically like they're floating underwater is not their fault.
That's true.
Right.
That can't be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still not inclined to see this unless everybody comes back and is like, this is the best movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that's going to happen. So
I'm probably going
to wait until, unless everybody tells me it's Batman vs. Superman level bad, or Suicide Squad level bad, which I've still never seen either of those movies.
Right.
I will probably eventually watch it,
yeah.
But I'm not going to go rush out to see it, especially because it's over Christmas and I got way too much shit going on.
That's true.
Yeah, even just for movies, there's a ton of crap coming out of Christmas.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I'm not in any rush. I might actually watch Runaways first, and I'm not exactly
Wow. Speaking of Runaways.
Yes. I did that press room.
Yeah.
Which I didn't interview most of the cast because I had just done the set visit. So I didn't need to.
Right,
but that cast is lovely.
They are very
sweet. Those kids are sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jeff Loeb wasn't as hard to get things out of as in the past. Although I only asked two questions because I was on the past one. But, yeah. They released a trailer. What did you think? Because I've seen the first two episodes, so...
Oh, okay. I mean, the trailer, like, it didn't really... I don't feel like it, like, told me anything new that I didn't already know, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's just, like, it's still, like, so much of the parents, and I'm like, oh, I don't really care about
There's
the parents.
There's still a lot of the parents, and I think that's one of the like, biggest problems with the series.
Yeah, because I want to see, you know, obviously they're fighting, you know, they're trying to, like, save the world from their parents or whatever, but, like, I just kind of want to see what happens, you know, what kind of heroes they are when they're done with that, so can't wait to get to that point.
Yeah.
I guess Carolina's. I was from like, how do I say her name? Carolina's, like, you know, glowing powers are going to be cool to see. Like, it looks like they're going to come out more. So, that'll be cool to see. And, of course, Carolina and Nico being together, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
They're living together. Oh, okay. All of them.
Well,
so,
all of them, yeah.
And there, yes, there are relationships. There's a lot of the story for both of the big relationships.
Oh, the other big one being Gert and
Chase.
Chase, thank you.
Yeah. There is a lot of that. So.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've seen the first two episodes. I can't really talk about plot points. But there's some good stuff. It has potential, but it's the same thing as, like, the first two episodes of the first series had potential, and then I didn't really like the rest of the series. So, we'll have to see, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the Hulu people are lovely, and I, like, the publicists are amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, and like you said, the cast all seem wonderful. Yeah. So. It is, you know, Josh and Steph are the... Right, like the main writers,
yes,
for it, right?
They, and so. They're the showrunners and the main writers for it. Yeah. So it is very like the OC.
Yeah,
like,
exactly, exactly. That's
so
the,
we should have known what to expect just based on that,
right?
But did you ever watch it, Angela?
I watched the first episode and I had a hard time getting into it, and then I forgot.
You forgot.
I watched Adrian
instead. I don't blame you. At this point, I can't really recommend it, to be honest. I'd have to see where the rest of this season goes to see if it improves.
Right.
It got better at the end of the season, but it took a long time to get there. And that was part of the problem. I would tell people watch Cloak and Dagger instead.
Right.
Because it's much better. Or S.H.I.E.L.D. Or, you know, half of the other shows. Which, by the way, Marvel... Or, Netflix, I mean, sorry, canceled Iron Fist.
Yeah, I can't believe.
That was news. I knew there was something.
Yeah. I can't believe
that's
that
not New York Comic Con related, but
right,
that was.
But it's, you know,
it's
new,
we'll just
whatever.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
I'm, so, like, I just want to know. I wish that we could find out how much worse it did. Like, season two did.
It must
numbers.
Have done bad.
Exactly, like, for them to do that. Because obviously they're not canceling Luke Cage or Jessica Jones, or else they would have come out with that already.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, because, I mean. Everybody agrees that it was infinitely better than the first season. I'll admit, I watched I watched two episodes and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Matt said it did improve and he was really excited about like the potential of like the last episode.
Yeah.
But
that's
then
what I heard
too. Squander it immediately.
Oh, really?
There's a like, this is where it's going to go. That sounds great. And then they immediately do 5 months later. And it's like, and he's like, I actually wanted to know what happened in those 5 months.
Oh.
Like, it might have been a more interesting story than the story you gave me.
Wow.
So, yeah. He was really angry, actually.
That's too bad. I mean, it's not really too bad. Like, I'm not, like, I don't feel that bad, but it is kind of weird to know that, like, one Marvel Netflix show is already canceled.
Yeah.
Although, technically, Defenders was low-key canceled as well.
Defenders was canceled.
Yeah.
They just said, well, they said they
like,
have no plans for a second one, and
which
it was like,
it was
it's canceled.
Whatever. Yeah. You would have done it again if it had done well.
They did, I think, in the press release that they sent out, Netflix did say, though, you know, the Immortal Iron Fist will live on. So it's like, okay, which means you're probably going to
put him in Luke Cage.
You're going to put him in Luke Cage. And or... There's a Daughters of the Dragon spinoff, which is what people actually want.
I want Daughters
and
of the Dragon.
You can put him in that.
Yeah. I don't want him in that, but yes, you can.
You're going
you
to have to.
Exactly.
He's still with
Colleen.
Colleen,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I would, see, like, and I wanted to watch just for Colleen and Misty, you know, like, watch their parts. Mm-hmm. But I just can't do it.
Yeah.
I just cannot. So.
It's really too bad. Mm-hmm. They just didn't know what to do with it. There's rumors that they're shopping it, that Marvel Television are trying to get the Disney streaming service to pick it up. But it's like, no, just let it go.
Yeah.
And keep those characters in the universe exactly. of the Netflix series.
Right. You've got the other Netflix series and they have connections with them. So why
have
not?
You watched all of Luke Cage yet?
Yes. Okay. I finished Luke Cage.
Okay. So, like, the episode with the two of them was actually really... Yeah, it was like, fun. That's a Danny I would watch.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in that.
Yeah.
But yes, you're going to have to resolve Luke's stupidity first.
Right. I mean, if they turned Luke Cage into more of a, like, still leave Heroes for Hire. Luke Cage. But yeah, Heroes for Hire or, like, a Power Man, Iron Fist situation.
Yeah.
Let's still leave Luke Cage as the lead, but then having Danny supporting him and Colleen in there, too, would strengthen Luke as a lead, I think. Because yeah. I think one thing about, one issue with Luke Cage is that, like, the villains get so much more. Yeah. They flesh out so much more than he does, to a degree. And it's like, why are you doing this? Yeah. So put more beef up his side of it, and then it'll be a win for everyone.
Yeah. I just still can't believe they canceled it.
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow. It's quite shocking.
Okay, so back to New York Comic Con.
Yes, I were. Yeah, is there anything else that you want to...
Well, So I did the press room for The Boys, which I thought sounded interesting until I was sitting in the press room, and then I was like, I don't know. But it's really funny. Matt said that at the end of the video, he was like... He told me, he's like, Carl Urban was, like, staring at you. He was like, he kept looking at you. Mm-hmm. I was like, how can you tell that? I'm like, that makes me self-conscious.
Were you wearing
something?
I'm like,
something? Cute that day? I don't know.
Were you really cute that day?
I was like, well, thank you. Yeah, maybe. But, I don't know.
Something eye-catching.
Yeah, right? But, no, like, the main thing was they kept talking about how they can go so much further with the series, like, than AMC will let them, because mm-hmm. Amazon is where it's going to be on. And so they, mm-hmm. and I was like, and I'm out, because The Preacher is what they have on AMC, and I watched one episode of that, and I was like, I can't take this. This is not.
Right.
Yeah, it's too vulgar for me. And that, what's his ass face, is what it's called? That was just, ugh. I can't. So, anyway. But the premise sounds interesting of The Boys, that it's,
yeah.
it's like, basically superheroes are the 1%, and they're very full of themselves, and so these are the people who have to keep them in check.
I like it. I mean, I think that it makes sense, you know, because, like, anyone, yeah. like, unchecked power, right? Or yeah. absolute power corrupts absolutely, etc. So, yeah, I think it's cool to see it from the flip side.
Yeah. Although, apparently, the best part was Eric Kripke talking about how somebody, what's it called, like, had to sit and count how many fucks were in a specific episode.
And they had to cut out a couple. They had to, there was like 49, and they're like, oh, we can only have 45.
Yeah. And he was just like, whose job was it to go through and be like, 1, 2. Yeah. Like, here's a little tally sheet.
Now, one thing, like, I'm sure that this is done, you know, tongue-in-cheek or, like, on purpose, like, as a commentary, but the fact that, I literally just forgot her name, but I love her. Tana.
Is she the one that was there?
Yes.
Okay, I know who you're talking about, but I don't actually know
I can't remember the actress's name. But anyway, Tana. she has a real name, and she is great, but she is playing, like, at least she's the one woman that's there, and her character's name is female.
Yes.
And I was like, I know this is on purpose. I understand that you're making a point here in this comic, probably, but...
It still bothers you.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. So there's, like, the token woman, and her name is literally the female. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can find her name for you.
Karen Fukuhara. Okay. Yes. There we go. So, yes.
I just remembered the other thing that went wrong on my first day there.
What was it?
Okay, so, second press room. So, first one, mm-hmm. I had a problem with. Second one was The Man in the High Castle,
mm-hmm.
which Amazon's usually really good at running their rooms. That room, for some reason, wasn't run as efficiently.
Oh, really?
Like, literally, they had names down mm-hmm. of where, so you would know who they were supposed to take their papers around with them, which ended up not working, and by the end of the weekend, they stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we were supposed to get Rufus Sewell and Joel McHale first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they had them standing next to us for, like, 15 minutes. And I standing there. I almost walked over and was like, can I just bring them to the table? Mm-hmm. Because this is, you're wasting their time. And our time. Yeah. Because just, like, put them at the table.
That's so weird.
And then we ended up having a really short interview because it didn't go well. So I asked a question, and Matt actually, like, I felt really bad afterwards because nobody asked a question at first, so I started asking a question, and Rufus Sewell immediately started, like, arguing with me. But not, like, mean. It was just, like, I don't agree with you. Oh, and then it was, like, okay. And I tried to refocus, and he was, like, no. He, like, Matt thinks he actually recognized me because I've interviewed him several times. Yeah. And I've had, like, real conversations with him. Mm-hmm. He thinks that, you know, he was trying to engage me, and then it, like, I probably wasn't prepared enough. To be honest, mm-hmm. and I had told everybody I wasn't going to ask questions because I just did say it, go. And none of them had done it, but then none of them asked questions, so I started to try, like, add mm-hmm. ask. Yeah, like, anyway, so it would have been fine, but yeah, I rolled with it, and I was like, okay, well then tell me why. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, continue with your point. And I was like, no, it's mute at this point. Let's keep going. And it was, and so, I said Joel McHale, didn't
you? You did say Joel McHale. And I was like, did I put the wrong name on the interview? Who was in the interview with him?
I was like, wait a minute. I said Joel McHale. And this just goes to prove that I do this all the freaking time.
You don't know names. That's fine.
Joel De La Fuente is his name,
yes,
right?
Yes, Joel De La Fuente, okay. Yes.
Anyway. Whatever. I do this all the freaking time. Anyway, so Joel De La Fuente started to, mm-hmm. like, answer the question. And, you could tell Rufus Sewell kind of felt bad. I think Matt ended up deleting it because mm-hmm. it didn't really work. And somebody else asked a question afterwards, and then we rolled with that.
Oh, okay, good.
And it was fine. So I don't think my question is on our video.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it didn't, yeah.
It didn't work out.
Because Rufus Sewell kept trying to, and I was like, no, it's done. And well, like, now let's just keep going.
Now I want to know what this, what
well,
like, happened.
You can access the video if you want to watch it.
Be like, excuse me.
Anyway, and then, somebody else asked another question, and it was fine, and we were going. But then, this woman next to me, mm-hmm. literally, Joel De La Fuente starts to, like, answer, he says, but in series 3, and the woman's like, no, wait, answer this question instead.
What?
She literally interrupts him.
What the hell?
And you can tell in the video, and I actually haven't watched it to see how much Matt left in it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he probably cut it off before this part, so it's probably really short. But Rufus Sewell was not having any of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, like, feisty anyway, obviously, but he was not having any of it. Because, like, Joel De La Fuente was, like, courteous enough about it, but it was like, what the... interrupt them.
Yeah.
And she's
so rude.
And they were moved. The publicist came to take them. And Rufus Sewell literally went to her, okay, so what was the wait about? And it was like, oh, snap.
And
we really did afterwards, like, everybody was looking and it was like, what the fuck? And she was like, if you guys are mad at me, just say something. And I was like, you interrupted the talent. And her complaint was that they just kept talking and we weren't getting to ask a lot of questions and they were talking about, and it's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
A, it's not your interview. If this was your interview alone, it would be different. Mm-hmm. Although you still probably should not do that because it's rude.
Yeah.
But it this isn't your interview and you've now ruined it for everybody else.
Right.
You know, the others, I felt bad because two of them had never done a press room before.
Aww.
And so they were just like, and they were like, they see that they go away and they seem to be laughing and having fun with the other people. And ours didn't go well.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, this woman.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
I actually tried to talk to her afterwards mm-hmm. when everybody else left. I was just like, yeah. And I didn't actually say. Because mm-hmm. she was like, well, you know, I was trying, like, they weren't answering, like, about the new season. I was like, he literally said, but in season 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell she expected. But, yeah, it was just like, wow, you have no clue. Luckily for the rest of the thing, she didn't speak. Basically, she didn't ask anything of any of the other talent.
She learned her lesson after that.
Yes.
She was like, never mind.
And I told the others, I was kind of like, guys, I meant it when I said I shouldn't ask any questions because I've literally just interviewed all of them.
Yeah.
You've got questions, ask them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump in because I'm not going to sit here and
right, in silence. Yeah, exactly.
So they did better after that. But yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was so awkward. And it was like, this is my first day and Rufus was usually lovely to talk to. And I was like, and I feel like it is. But then Matt is, like I said, my harshest critic. Because I was like, did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I think he really, like, he felt bad because he, like, took you off track.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, well, he shouldn't have done that in, like, the way... It would have been different if he and I were having a discussion.
Right.
But because it was because it was, like, five other people at the stable. I'm like, no, we can't engage you and I.
Yeah.
It feels like it, yeah.
Right.
But then it was the next day, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I still haven't had a chance to watch Man of the High Castle season 3, by the way. But anyway, but the next day I got to do lore, and shout out to Sean Crouch, who loves us.
Aww.
Seriously. Matt actually was surprised because, so he sits down at the table with Gail and Herd,
mm-hmm.
and they, and he says, you know, because there's nothing out saying who we are.
Yeah.
So he says, I really like to know who it is I'm talking to, so do you mind introducing yourselves? And Matt said later, he's like, I don't know if you paid attention, but they were all, like, big outlets. But when it got to me, and I said with an accent, and he was like, oh, yes, I recognize you. I follow you.
Aw, that's so cute.
And he didn't react to anybody else. I was like, aw. And then at the end, yeah. And I wish I'd still been recording. I think the voice recorder was still recording. Uh-huh. But at the very end, he actually did say, he's like, I just wanted to thank you guys for putting, like, to us, to with an accent.
Yeah.
It was for the really great write-up you did of the trailer.
Aww.
And all of your support of The Exorcist. And I was like, okay,
that's
Jesse.
So sweet. That's so sweet.
Because it's mostly Jesse who's done it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love both shows, but...
Right, but Jesse's the...
But she's
so
the one
fun.
Who writes them up, so...
Aww.
That was really sweet.
That is really sweet.
Yeah, so that was nice.
Yeah.
That was a better day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my first day was just like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
But the day got better. Or the week got better. And then it was an Amazon person who, at the last minute, was like, we can get you into Good Omens. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes!
Thank God
that
for
that.
That
was my highlight, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the, yeah, that was the crowning highlight. Glory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the floor at New York Comic Con makes San Diego seem tame. And
oh,
you've
really?
Probably done the floor
yeah,
at San Diego.
I've tried to do the floor at San Diego.
I usually at San Diego go up and down
yeah,
every
exactly.
single aisle.
Same.
But I can't do that at New York Comic Con.
Really?
You basically just have to kind of wander where you can get through.
Wow.
So there's stuff I did not see. Because there was stuff that Char asked me to find that I never found.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh my god, I went on Sunday. It was just insane. I don't know.
Hmm.
But, I'm trying to think what else I did. There wasn't really much. I mean, there was other stuff, but those were the highlights, I guess. Those were what I was excited about.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's some pretty decent things in there to be excited about. Especially, like, I knew you actually like Man of the High Castle.
I do. I love that show. So, that was why it was upsetting that one went so bad. No, it wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. Especially if, like I said, Matt was like, no, I think you overreacted. And mm-hmm. it wasn't as bad as you think it was. It
yeah,
was
it's
like,
a spotlight
he's
effect,
gonna,
right? Like,
yeah.
You feel...
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't react well to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. But, yeah. I really want to watch it because I haven't had time. They sent me screeners two days before, and I was like, I am on a plane to New York. I don't have time. And the next day I went to see Cursed Child again.
Oh.
So I was like, I do not have time to watch these. Thank you very much, but
sad.
I won't be watching them before.
When
I'm
is
done.
The actual season drop?
It already did.
Oh, did?
Dropped on the
5th.
That's why
on the 5th?
On the 5th. So our interviews were on the 4th, and they were like, can you please put them up before the next day? And I was like, no.
Oh my god.
Because we don't have time.
Oh no.
Everybody was like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, it's too bad. I really like the show. I hope. They're going back for season 4 soon, so it's already been greenlit for season 4.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
I don't know how much longer it's gonna go, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it really makes you depressed sometimes.
Someday I've gotta watch it. Someday I will.
It's really good. It's very interesting. They're going into more sci-fi this season, although they keep reiterating that it's not really science fiction. It's like, yes, it is. You're doing alternate realities. Yes,
that's science fiction. Yeah, that's science fiction.
Yes. I understand. It's Philip K. Dick. He wrote science fiction. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm. It's because we have such a stick up our asses about science fiction, right? Yeah. Anyway. The other thing that was there, which we're going to talk about later, is the Discovery of Witches, which was Terry was super excited about, so that was always great.
Right.
Terry, by the way, is my hero.
And
there was at one point, because I was sitting in, like, the press lounge, like, either about to cry or scream because of the Kavanaugh thing, because that's when it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it was right after Colin's speech, and I was like, and she comes in, and she's like, okay, here we go. And she lays it out, and she's like, it helped a lot. So Terry is my hero.
Aww.
I swear to God, I need
go Terry.
I wish she was here.
Yeah.
Only seeing her once a year, and especially because we've both been so busy this year, I haven't talked to her a lot.
Yeah.
It's been, but she's amazing. She's, and we didn't,
I miss him.
She's been very busy. She's hoping she gets out to LA soon. But that was my New York Comic Con. It was fun. It was, I love that con. It's nice. It's, even though I'm mostly doing most of the press rooms, although Andrew, by the way, mm-hmm. did the Star Trek Discovery press room.
Oh, yeah?
Full Joker makeup.
That's awesome!
He didn't really want to do it, but he had already committed to doing something that day, and I had to do the 100 at the same time, and I was like, I don't care, just go.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen people coming with cosplay.
I've seen it, too.
And they just enjoy it, like, the challenge.
He usually won't do it on those days, but he didn't know he was going to have to do a press room that day, and it was literally the only room. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, just do it. I don't care. So, he actually later got a picture with Sydney Gwynn Martin
so
Green
fun.
On the street in full costume, so that was cool.
That's really cool.
And he watches the show, which helps.
Yeah, that would definitely help.
Yeah, so, anyway. And then Terry got to do her very last Gotham press room,
aww.
Which, Gotham, she did for me at New York Comic Con, what, like 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. right after it started, and she had never seen it until that point, but she watched the show because she loved the cast aww. And interviewing them so much. So she was really happy to get
that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, I do love that cast.
Yeah,
so.
They're amazing.
I definitely love the cast much more than I love the show. But
yeah. she says it's an opera.
Yeah,
if you look at it,
that's true. That's true.
She loves it. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's ridiculous, but it is what it's supposed
to. No, that's
to
true.
Be.
If you go in knowing that that's
what
it's gonna be like, then it does its job.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was that was our weekend. It was good. I always love New York Comic Con. You should try and come sometime.
I do want to. I want to. Maybe maybe I can for next year. We'll
it's
see.
Chill.
Yeah. Except for the floor, apparently.
Except the floor, which I didn't even... Well, I got to briefly on the first day just to say hi to my friend Claire. Otherwise, I didn't get there until the last day. And it was just chaos. Maybe next time I'll try and get there the first day. But there were so many press rooms on the Thursday that I couldn't. So, anyway... So I think the next topic we should talk about, because it's going to be dated as is.
Right.
Since this will drop after we see the second episode.
Yeah.
Is Doctor Who.
All right.
So none of us have seen episode 2, even though obviously I got a screener at noon today. I was like, that's not going to help me. I don't have time to watch this, but that's okay. Anyway, but what did we think of episode 1? I love Jodie Whittaker.
Yes, I love
That's
her.
That's basically all I have to say. I was like, I love you, and you are the Doctor. And that was so refreshing after. And I love Peter Capaldi, but I was not a fan of his Doctor from season 1, or his first season. And like I said, I have not watched.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what I thought was interesting is when I got that screener today, it said season 0, episode 2.
Season 0?
Yeah.
That's kind of random.
I know, right? I was like, it's not even one. Like,
what season is it actually?
Well, it depends on how you think about it. Do you think about it from the beginning of the show? Or do you think about it
from... If we're thinking about it from Eccleston. New Who.
I think it's like 11?
11.
Or 12?
See, because if it was 10...
No, you know what? It might be 13.
Oh, maybe because 13 is an unlucky number? Maybe that's why? I don't know. It's kind of random.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I thought that was strange. I was like,
that
0.
That is very strange. That's very strange. But yeah, I loved her Doctor. I like that it feels like she doesn't have... I don't know. I definitely feel a different energy than from, like, the Moffat era, right? I no longer feel that, like, sense of, like, extreme entitlement that the Doctor possesses, where it's like, I know everything and no one else knows anything, you know? She's you definitely feel that she's sort of, like, you know, getting her bearings and stuff and trying to figure out. Which, on the one hand, it's like, oh, that's so interesting that she's like that now that she's a woman. But,
it's a different white man writing her.
Yeah, yeah. I do like Chris Chibnall, so. We've already discussed that.
Yeah.
But I also liked all the companions in the first episode. I enjoyed them all.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that maybe it's like 3 is like maybe going to be crowded, just in the sense of like getting their time to shine. Because like
right away to have 3.
Yeah.
I honestly was surprised that we were literally introduced to them all right away. I thought it was going to be like maybe 2 and or something like that.
Yeah, like the grandparent situation could have come about later on in the season. Because I thought that Yaz and I've just forgotten my newest adopted son, whose name I have already forgotten. Angela and I are not good at knowing the names of our sons.
None of us are good at knowing the name of anybody. What are you talking about? That one guy with the thing.
Yes. But I really liked their interplay, and I thought it was cool that they had all previously known each other. So I was like, oh, that's nice, pre-established dynamic.
That helps, actually.
Yeah. And I really felt for him in that situation with his grandparents, you know, and like him trying to learn to ride the bike, etc. So I liked all of that. But then when they killed the grandma, and then the step...
I was really surprised by it, because it was like, okay, so obviously something happens to her
that
even her husband goes. Mm-hmm. But even Matt was like, okay, so they're like, she's gonna get kidnapped or something. Right, something's gonna happen, because he was like, they're not gonna kill her exactly, in the first episode. And I was like,
I was oh wow, so we actually mad. Killed her. I was so mad they killed her.
I know. She was great.
Yeah, she was great. And like, I don't understand why she couldn't have just been like injured or something. Could have happened. And then like, he's gonna go, and then the step grandfather goes too, because he's like, well, I'm gonna have to take care of you because your grandma can't, or whatever. They can bond. We don't have to have a
reunion. Well, I mean, even like, with because it is an accident that they go with the doctor.
Yeah.
You could have had her just be at home.
That's true. She's injured.
She couldn't be there that day. Yeah. And then oh shit.
And then they're trying to get back, but also, you know, bonding at the same time. Yeah.
And she could be there tied to Earth.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I didn't like that they killed her. I thought that was really weird. Especially because, like...
Why is the step-grandfather the one who's the companion and not
her? Just, right. I guess it's because, like... Well, I mean, they chose to do it that way, right? They chose to have an antagonistic relationship between them so that then that'll develop over the course of the season.
Yeah.
But, I didn't need that part of it. I would have... Either switch it, or else I don't need the grandfather there at all. Like, yeah. They can just both be there on Earth, and then we come back and see them every once in a while, you know? So, that's my only concern, is that I think that it's too many people might distract from each other. Might cancel each other out.
Yeah.
And also the teeth villain. The teeth villain was...
Yeah. Gross. The villain was weird.
But yeah, weird and gross, yeah. But I liked how she dealt with the villain, so
I think the only other time that we had three companions was Rose, Mickey, and Jack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end of the season. You've already met all of them.
Built that up, and first it was just Rose, and then you add on Mickey, and then you add on Jack, right? Or did you add on Jack and then you add on Mickey?
You add on Jack and then you add on Mickey.
Yeah, so it's like you layered it. Yeah. And
he's not, like, really the companion he's in that episode.
Right. And there was a couple of episodes where you had Amy, Rory, and River together.
That's true.
And in that, and again, it's like you started with Amy, and then you add on Rory, and then you meet River.
Yeah.
So, or not, you've already met her, but you mean
you meet add her River for to the more. Story. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that develops, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, do they get time? Because we got a hint of who they are. Right. But you know.
Especially my son. He had the most development, I think. I can't remember his name.
I do like that there's a character who he has a disability.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, that I had never even heard of that disability, but obviously that is a thing. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people who are really excited about that being part of the story.
Yes, yes. I think that's good. And I hope that it will develop further as part of the story, too. Not like it defines him as a character, but that we see how he is affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. It felt tonally different for me from a lot of the, like, This is the New Doctor episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
Those ones always felt a little bit more, like, joyful or playful. And this one wasn't like that. But at the same time, I thought it was, like, really appropriate for... especially, like, the time we're at right now, because it was kind of darker overall, and yet she was so much more, like, hopeful and caring compared to a lot of the other doctors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that was good. Like, she's still really bright in the midst of all of this that's going on, and takes the time to, like, stop and check on people more than a lot of the other doctors. And I love that she made her own sonic screwdriver instead of them just appearing...
Yeah.
As divine right granted to them.
Yes, yes. It was cool that she made it on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, the best part of the entire episode is that it had the highest ratings in, like, 10 years on the
show. That is great.
Higher than either 11 or 12's introduction.
That is so great! Like, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's great, really exciting. To all the people who were like, stop with the political casting or whatever
That makes me really excited. I hope that the second episode also has high ratings, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't, like, drop off a lot.
Yeah.
Because one of the best parts of the evening after we watched the premiere was, like, reading all those ridiculous comments from, like, Daily Mail commenters or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Like, people just being like, this isn't England anymore. What?
Seriously?
Yes.
She's still white. Stop it.
Yeah. But there were other non-white people there.
Oh, God. Two of them are not white.
Exactly.
One of them is actually a white male. An old white male.
Yes.
It's like you see, literally...
he's right there. Pretend he's the doctor.
He's not important enough. He's not in this... Right. He's not in every single scene. He's not the focus of everything in the story, yeah. Right? With a younger...
I miss the TARDIS a lot, though. I didn't expect that I would so much.
Yeah, it's weird,
yeah,
right?
It was weird for the TARDIS. It was weird for the TARDIS.
You know what's funny, though? I didn't even notice that we didn't get the intro. Like, the credits
weren't
there.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either.
I didn't actually
notice friends that. My friends were backwards. They were like, where's the intro? And I was like, we didn't get it.
My dad was like, where's the intro? They've usually done the intro by now. It goes to the commercial without there being the intro, and it's like... They always have they don't start with the intro all the time, but it's always there before the first commercial break. I'm like, calm down, Dad.
Yeah. It'll come. Yeah, that is a new thing, though. I think a lot of television shows do that, where it's not till the second episode that they really put in their intro. So.
I guess it's like because the first one is literally, this is the entire intro, and then the next time it's like, oh, now it's just daily business.
Now
right?
It's just, we're all normal.
This is the routine.
We all know what to expect now.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I expect that we'll see it tonight. We'll see the intro tonight, and we'll see the TARDIS tonight, I'm sure.
Yes.
Because, yeah, I definitely...
Yes, both are there. Because I've seen already tweets from people in the UK.
Oh, okay.
That were, like, crying because they were so excited about the TARDIS.
Aww.
And, like, seeing the new TARDIS.
That's cute. Well. That's cute. The new TARDIS.
It's true.
Yeah. But I'm definitely... It feels fresh right now, so it's good. You know, it does not feel stale. It does not feel recycled.
Yeah.
So... the best thing that I can ask for with Doctor Who at this point, so
yeah. I just, you know, I just love Jodie Whittaker, and that's all I can remember. I'm like, yay, I have a doctor that I like again.
So good. Like Catherine's review of the first episode, she posted some chart where it was like the graph of people adjusting to a new doctor.
Oh.
In the first couple episodes, you're still complaining. I was like, but then by the end of the season, you're like, this is the greatest doctor ever. I was like, I'm already here.
Yeah, right? Like, didn't take me any time at all.
Yeah,
I think part of it is probably, you know, since I have not even been checking for the doctor the last season, I watched a couple episodes of Bill because I liked Bill. I wanted to see Bill, and then I was like, it's just not happening. It's not it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I haven't been attached to a doctor since like 10, so I'm okay.
Yeah, same. I 11 was okay.
Fine.
But, and there was some
fun
stuff.
I liked Peter Capaldi, but I was over Moffat. I was done.
Yeah.
Also, thank God he's gone, because like Catherine posted a news article today. They released the preview for episode 3, and it's the Rosa Parks episode. And I would not trust Moffat to do that at all.
Well, I'm sure Moffat wouldn't even have done it.
It wouldn't have even occurred to him.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for that. That means they're going to be in the U.S.
Yep. That's crazy. And when she posted the trailer, I was like, does that mean the TARDIS is back? Because I hadn't heard anything about episode 2 yet.
Oh.
And I was like, but if you're visiting Rhoda Parks, I have to have the TARDIS back, right?
Yes. You couldn't keep the TARDIS away long. Although, I mean, they did do that in the classic series where he lost the TARDIS. And there's an entire season where the TARDIS...
Without the TARDIS?
The Doctor is confined to Earth.
We could not do that. We could not do that.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, I feel like I was as out of sorts as I was this several episode arc in Airbender where they had Abba gone and they were trying to find Abba.
That was funny.
Really emotional about it.
One episode without the TARDIS and we're like, what? Yeah.
I know, exactly. I'm like, bring it back.
That's the one staple of the show, even though the TARDIS interior changes.
Yeah.
The exterior doesn't that much.
Right, right.
The exterior changes less than the Doctor itself does. Yeah.
True, true, true.
Yeah. I'm happy to be excited about my show again.
I am happy you're happy, but I'm also happy for myself.
I think that's it. Yeah. Otherwise, thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte. As always, look on withanaccent.com for all the interviews, because we still have stuff that hasn't been posted from New York Comic Con, because Matt was sick and didn't finish the videos yet. And, you know, everything else we're doing. News, reviews, interviews, etc. Follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr.
Instagram.
And at withanaccentTV is where you can find those videos of those interviews on YouTube. And follow the podcast at Pop a la Carte Pod on Twitter and Facebook. Yay!
Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.